gather into bundles to burn. I believe in the communion of the saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Bishop Sanborn visited us this weekend to see Father Cicada before his surgery, and he happened to mention, we were speaking about Pope Bergoglio, that he had identified 4 distinct heresies in an interview that Francis had given shortly before his Lutheran trip to Sweden on Halloween. But one of his seminarians, examining the text, found 2 more, bringing the total to 6. Well, it's nice to see that your seminary support money is truly at work. Please do continue to support our seminarians so that they may know and defend our holy faith. Sister Maria Serafina was an Italo-German nun in the 19th century who founded a congregation of sisters called the Sisters of the Angels. Well, she had occasion to be in Luther's birthplace, Eisleben, in Saxony, on the 4th centenary of that arch-heretic's birth in November of 1883. The streets were packed, but she went about her business. The Emperor, Wilhelm II, was there. She ignored all of the hoopla, but as evening came on, she was searching for a church so that she could make her visit to the Blessed Sacrament. It was dark, finally. She found one, but the doors were locked. Nothing deterred, she knelt down in front of the doors, as saints will, to make her devotions. An angel promptly appeared to her to tell her to get out, because that actually was a Protestant church. She hadn't noticed that because of the dark. As Sister Serafina arose from her knees, the angel added, "But I want you to see where Luther ended up and his punishment for his pride." She saw a terrible abyss of fire, countless tortured souls, and at the bottom, Martin Luther, surrounded by demons who forced him to kneel as they tried in vain to hammer a nail into his head. Some wag joked about Luther being really hard-headed, but this is no joking matter. This illustration of today's gospel, gather up the cockle, the weeds, bind it into bundles to burn. Father Faber said already in the 19th century that we live in a world permeated with heresy. We breathe in its contagion, its stench, without flinching. We're not like those Orientals who go around wearing a mask against the pollution of the air. It doesn't bother us, not at all. It's lost its horror. But not for Martin Luther. It's the mark of a liberal Catholic not to mind falsehood too much. Well, that's your opinion, and you see I have mine, and I'm sure they're all good people, and they mean well. That sort of a large, very tolerant spirit is the liberal spirit. It's not Catholic. We should burn with zeal for truth, because Almighty God is truth. And he has given us his truth in the revelation of the Catholic faith. But what about the rest of the gospel? I mean, the wheat and the workers we hear about in that parable. Why, that's the communion of the saints. Father Lectoranda told us on All Saints Day that Martin Luther wanted to change the term communion of the saints to congregation of the saints, but he did not dare do so because it would have been too obvious to the people. They knew their prayers by heart. What does it mean, this doctrine of ours? The communion of the saints means that all of the members of the church in heaven, on earth, in purgatory, are in communion with one another, being in one body in Jesus Christ. So, what is this communion which is symbolized in part by Holy Communion, but is different from it? This communion is the state of souls joined together, as I say, in one body, the church. It also refers, though, to the effects and to the privileges of this membership. It's not membership in a local church, a parishioner of St. Gertrude the Great. It is the membership in the whole Catholic Church, which is the communion of the saints. That includes, well, all sorts of saints. We have our little ones in front of us today to remind us of the subject. Well, there are the perfect saints. They're united with God in heaven. By perfect charity, they burn with his love like the seraphim. And then there are imperfect saints, the wheat, which must be purified of its weeds by fire. That would be the suffering souls of purgatory. They're potential saints, almost there. And then there are the saints on earth. We're potential, but in a different sense. We're called to be saints, St. Paul says, and he would often refer to the early Christians as just that, saints. We are the workers in the parable whom the church calls soldiers, the church militant on earth. These imperfect saints who, together with the souls in purgatory and, well, I call them the zombies, the walking dead. Catholics who are in the state of mortal sin, we make up the rest of the mystical body, which has then, remember, three parts: church triumphant, where? Heaven. The church militant, where? Earth. The church suffering, where? Purgatory. They are the communion of the saints, not the congregation of the saints. For they are in communion with each other, all working together for the good of all, fighting one foe, fighting for one king. And each member, did you know, shares in the good works of all of the other members. The communion of the saints, you might say, is like a perpetual church potluck supper, except that every dish you get is a good one, and each one tastes better than the last. And each member at the same time similarly suffers from the loss of grace through the evil deeds done by any members. Are the faithful in communion then with one another? They are. Well, how would that work? Because we all profess the same faith. We are faithful. That's why every detail of our faith matters to us. This makes us children of God rather than children of wrath, and entitles us to share in the inheritance of the saints, the holy things, the Mass, the sacraments, sanctifying grace. These things will make us into saints. Secondly, we obey the same authority, the invisible head, Christ, the founder of the church, and second, the visible head here on earth, all of the true popes from St. Peter to the last true pope. Each one of them, they were shepherds and teachers to the faithful. We are in communion with each other, too, by, well, Monsignor Knox, that scripture scholar, he says, if you were to buttonhole St. Paul and to ask him what he meant by this term we're talking about today, he would tell you, well, when one group is hard up, another group of Christians, some other part of the world, would pass the hat for them and send the collection on to them. That's what the communion of the saints means. So do you see how perfectly we are today in the communion of the saints? collections, the first collection and the second collection, and the little church in the vestibule, and don't forget St. Anthony's box for the poor, and the bishop's fund, and all of the rest. So the church in heaven is all saints. The church in purgatory is all souls. And the church on earth is all sorts. Father Cicada says the Catholic Church means here comes everybody. And here, too, I think we fit the definition perfectly. Look around at each other. And we on earth, though, we are poorer than the saints you see around us in church today and their relics on the altars. So we ask these saints for something. But we on earth are richer than the souls in purgatory. Those bundles of wheat who must be cleaned of their weeds by burning before they enter heaven's garden. So they come to ask us for something to help them along. See how it works? It is the same old principle that St. Paul used to preach at the beginning. The give and the take among Christians, it's not just for me, it's for everyone. Well, that kind of give and take, what does it include? Prayers and good works. The public prayers are offered for everyone. Every Mass, the divine office, your private prayers, everyone shares in them too. Did you know? Indulgence to formal prayers, the rosary, as well as praying, as we say, in your own words. But also good works, the works of mercy, spiritual or corporal, including to instruct the ignorant, the preaching of the truth by example and by advice. But remember that example is the very best sermon. Therefore, Masses, Holy Communions, penances, prayers obtain a common grace from which everybody benefits. It's a wonderful Catholic thing to say, I'll pray for you, but remember to keep your promise. Let me conclude by saying a word about the opposite of communion of the saints, excommunication, the terrible thing of being cut off from the church and the communion of the saints, either automatically in law that's called latae sententiae, by committing certain crimes, abortion, desecrating the Blessed Sacrament, attempting to marry before a Protestant minister, or by decree of church authority that's called ferendae sententiae. Luther was excommunicated by Pope Leo X. Father Fini was excommunicated by Pope Pius XII. His sin was against the faith, but he was excommunicated for disobedience. Excommunication cuts one off from the communion of the saints, from all of the goods and all of the benefits. St. Paul first used the term in 1 Corinthians as a terrible punishment. And in the old days, the days of faith, when people actually believed, it was considered an awful thing. I can remember growing up, and I was the age of our wiggly little saints this morning, and the sister told us, she was a Dominican at grade school at St. Suzanne's in Detroit, she said, there are excommunicated nuns who are going door to door peddling their books. Warn your parents, don't buy anything, don't listen to them. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, nuns that were excommunicated, what a terrible thought. But now I'm afraid, in all of the confusion of the church, since we have an excommunicated pope who holds up the arch-heretic Luther as the great example of our day, he was responsible for all of our woes and difficulties in church and in country. All is confusion, and how many good Catholics in their confusion have even fallen prey to the errors of the Finiites? How much more, then, do we need to feel that help, those prayers which we have a right to share in as Catholics? Because liberalism has watered down the faith to almost nothing. Let me end with a story of one of the saints, Saint Antoninus, his name means Little Anthony, who was a great bishop of Florence. He was the soul of moderation and of patience. Well, one day, to explain things to his people in Florence, he got into the pulpit with a loaf of white bread, and then he pronounced an anathema over that loaf of bread, just as the Council of Trent did over the teachings of Martin Luther. Anathema is a solemn condemnation. And immediately the loaf of bread was reduced to ash. The audience was struck with fear at this wonder. But then he pronounced the words of absolution, and the bread regained its former appearance, which we have seen here, dear faithful, he explained, is an image of what takes place in the excommunicated soul. Understand the patience of the Church before she would ever take such a step, and pity and pray for such poor sinners. For you, as members of the communion of the saints, you are bound to perform this act of charity. The communion of the saints. Dear faithful, either we burn with the charity of our Catholic faith, or we will burn in the coldness of our heresy in hell. Keep the doctrine of the faith. Now, having preached such a sermon, probably I need to put a P.S. on the end of it. Our job as Catholics is not to send souls to hell, but to send them to heaven. And this we do by prayer. This we do by teaching, by preaching. But remember, the best sermon is good example. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.